Does anyone here make a New Year's resolution, New Year's Eve or New Year's night resolution? I was reading a really, really interesting article during the week, and you can take the statistics of this or leave them. I just think it makes for a good illustration. The writer was saying 50% of Americans, I thought the number would be higher, but in his article he was saying, based on his survey, 50% of Americans make New Year's resolutions. Of those 50%, 8% keep those resolutions for more than 1 month. 92% break those New Year's resolutions in less than 1 week. I found that to be very, very interesting. And I realize for most people the subject of New Year's resolutions, it nothing more than a joke that we might talk about how we break them so quickly. But when it comes to the New Year, when it comes to this subject and the Christian, this is a tremendous day. It's an opportunity that God has given us to make some spiritual resolutions in the coming year. And if you don't like that word, resolutions, commitments maybe is a better word, that we might make some spiritual commitments in the coming year that would give God glory. I'm going to just share with you a couple of really foundational thoughts this morning. Things that all of us, spiritual thoughts, building blocks, that all of us perhaps would want to engage in, think about as we enter into this season. And for the goal, not only our own joy, our own contentment, peace, happiness as Christians, but obviously all of this is for the glory of our Savior, the glory of God. Continuing that article where I started, fascinating to me, the three most common, you can probably guess, the three most common New Year's Eve resolutions, I think they all ring true. Number one, to lose weight. Number two, to get in better physical shape. And number three, to cease a destructive, unhealthy habit. The number one example on that list would be something like smoking. Those were the three highest mentioned items for resolutions on the survey. And all of these things are worthy to consider. They're all directly related to one's physical health, indeed. But I was reading also in the same article that the writer was saying the resolutions that people make often flow out of some area of conviction in a certain area of life, whether it's a bad diet or lack of exercise or something like smoking, where we know now that it's detrimental to our health. People surveyed, this was absolutely fascinating to me. People surveyed felt convicted by some of the bad habits that they have engaged in the last year, and they wanted to make change for the better. That really just grabbed my attention. That's all we'll say about the lesser. We'll move on to the greater for the rest of our time today. Terry said, please don't tell everyone to go on a diet and get in better physical shape this morning. And so I won't do that. Let's move from the lesser, the physical part of life, to the spiritual part of life. In the year gone by, 2023, perhaps for one or two, or maybe for everyone here, we have been convicted about something in our Christian life, the spiritual life. I promise you, this is a gift from God today that we are able to turn the page on the calendar and start fresh, to start new this evening with our lives, our spiritual lives, to remove ungodly, unhealthy spiritual habits with godly spiritual habits. If we can mix metaphors, for some, we need to get back in better spiritual shape in the coming year. and make some changes in our spiritual diet. New Year's Eve is a great day to think about this subject. By God's grace, the Christian life is about new beginnings, fresh starts, God's mercies. We talked about it yesterday morning in Lamentations 3. God's mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And for everyone here who is a believer on the Lord Jesus, for everyone here who desires to be conformed to the image of the Son, there are some very real and practical things that we can do, commitments we can make, resolutions we can make in conjunction with the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding this morning. Let me give you a short list. Number one, for everyone here this morning, let's think about making the commitment, the resolution, to spend more time with God in His Word. Let's talk about it. And I just have a couple of these points, and I promise you there's nothing new here, there's nothing novel, there's no creativity, there's no humor. This is just foundational truth that has a chance, by God's grace, to revolutionize your life in the coming year. Point number one, let's make the commitment, let's make the resolution. Whether you're a pastor who spends some time in the Word every week, or a lay person who perhaps, if you were honest, you're not spending much time at all, if any, in the Word, let's make the commitment, let's make the resolution in the coming year to long for the pure milk of the Word so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, the great text of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. I want to illustrate this in one of my favorite passages. It's Psalm 119. Look at it with me if you have your Bible. Let's illustrate this from the life, the heart of King David. Psalm 119. Our first point this morning, let's make the commitment, let's make the resolution to spend more time in the Word of God in the coming year. Listen to how David described this in Psalm. Right near the middle of your Bible is the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, begin with me in verse 16. Again, our first point, let's think about making the resolution, the commitment to spending more time in the Word of God in the coming year. Listen to the writer of Psalm 119, King David, beginning in verse 16, I shall delight in your statutes, I shall not forget your word. Verse 24, your testimonies also are my delight, they are my counselors. Verse 35, make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Verse 47, I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. Verse 48, I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Look at verse 72. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Verse 92, if your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Look at verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Verse 111, I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. 113, I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law. Look at verse 127. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, yes, above fine gold. 159. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. 167. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. 174. I long for your salvation, O Lord. Your law is my delight. The note in my study Bible is so wonderful. Listen to this quote. Spiritual growth is always marked by a craving for and a delight in God's Word with the intensity with which a baby craves milk. Praise God. Such a great subject. Such a wonderful train of thought. And this is where many people today in precious churches just like ours, this is where many need to begin. We don't need more novelty. We don't need more creativity. We don't need more humor. To be frank, we don't need more music. For many people in Christian churches, we need to say, God, I hear you speak to me. I want to draw closer to you. I want to grow in my relationship with you. I'm going to spend more time with you in your word in the coming year, reading the Bible, memorizing the Bible, meditating on the Bible, listening to great teaching so I can understand its meaning, so I can obey it in its context. This is a great commitment. If the Holy Spirit is moving you this morning and you're thinking, I want to be like David. I want to be a man after God's own heart. I want to be a woman after God's own heart. I want to draw closer to God. I want to have that relationship that I read about from the missionaries and the pastors and these men of old and these great women of faith of old. I want to grow in my relationship with God. There's no shortcut. There's no quick fix. It begins with a commitment to the Word of God, reading it, memorizing it, meditating on it, understanding it. I promise you, if you say yes to this and you spend more time in the coming year in the Word of God, your relationship with God will be better than it was in the preceding year related to the fellowship aspect. Second, let's go forward or we'll run out of time. Second, and I just have a brief list this morning. Second, and you knew this was coming. Those of you who knew me, the second point, let's make a resolution, let's make a commitment to spend more time with God in prayer. Let's make a commitment, let's make a resolution to say, number one, God, I heard you speak to me today. I believe in you. I love you. I feel a little bit convicted by the last year, and I want to spend more time in your word, and I want to spend more time in prayer. Now, I'll let you in on a trade secret here. If you say yes to number one, and you begin to apply point number one, and you begin to spend more time reading and memorizing and meditating on and understanding and obeying the Word of God, your prayer life will improve demonstrably. They just go hand in hand. Your time in the Word and your prayer time are so very closely linked. I often think about how personally for me, my prayer life is always moved first cause by my time in the Word, my time in trying to memorize a passage or meditate on a passage or really read and understand a passage. Out of that flows naturally prayer. And so we make the commitment this morning. We understand Paul when he says, I do not cease to pray for you in Ephesians 1 or 1 Thessalonians 5. Pray without ceasing, for this is God's will for you, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I read this week, unceasing, incessant prayer is essential to the vitality of your relationship to the Lord and your ability to function as a Christian in the wretched, sinful world. Boy, all of us would say amen. All of us would agree with that. Prayer and the Word are so necessary. And it's fascinating that for so many, they really don't have a time in the Word. They don't have a time of prayer daily. And they're facing the world and the flesh and the devil without those grand pieces of God's weaponry. Incredible. And really this concept is sometimes misunderstood. To pray and to increase our prayer life, it's not to sit in a room and lock the door and say, do not disturb. It goes so much deeper. It means to live a God-conscious life in communion with your Heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus, the one mediator between God and man. And so what does that mean? Whether you're at work or you're at play or you're in a relationship or you're in a meeting or you're doing a project, whatever it is that you do, you're doing that on one hand and this develops over years. You begin to subconsciously do one thing in life on this earth and the other part of you is having a conversation with God in prayer, and we do this daily. We do this all day long. Such a tremendous, tremendous principle. In addition, it also means to go in the closet, to close the door, to shut out the distractions of life, and to say, God, this is your time. I'm going to communicate with you because I love you. I love the Lord Jesus. I love the Holy Spirit. I want to pray in the Spirit. And when I don't know how to pray, I'm trusting Romans 8. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses with groanings too deep for words. I'm coming to you. I want to pray. I don't know how to pray, God. Let your Spirit pray and teach me how to pray. Let the Lord Jesus forever live to make intercession for me. In addition, the godly person sees this as a necessity, not simply an addendum. We say yes to the Word. We say yes to prayer. We make that commitment. Won't you do that in the coming year? Let the Lord speak to you today. Say, God, I hear you speaking through that wretched man, that pastor. I'm convicted. My life hasn't been healthy spiritually in the last year. But I love you, God. I believe in your Son. I want to grow in my love for you. I want to bear fruit. I want to know you. I'm going to set aside time for your Word. I'm going to set aside time to pray. I'm going to learn how to read the Word and study the Word. I'm going to learn how to pray. Third, let's go further. Third, let's make a resolution. Let's make a commitment this morning to be obedient to God in those areas that are very, very clear in His Word. This is the elephant in the room in churches and men's groups. Dare I say, in Christian circles, the principle of obedience. And if you like to state that in a warning, in an admonition, you would say, we're going to make the commitment, we're going to make the resolution to put off sins in our life that we know are clearly spoken of in the Word of God. And if there's 50 or 60 or 100 or 200 or 2,000 people, this could affect each one differently. Certain sins that we struggle with, we say, God, I want to put those off in the coming year. By the power of the Holy Spirit. By faith, God, I believe your Spirit is powerful enough to work in my life. And I want to put off the old man. Sins that have besieged me. Sins that I'm struggling with. Sins that no one knows about. Those sins of the darkness. Say, God, I hear you speaking to me today. And say, God, I want to make a resolution. I want to make a commitment to be obedient to the things that are true in your Word. I want to put off those areas of life that are displeasing to you. And again, however the Spirit is directing you in that area, each one perhaps is different this morning. And again, whenever we talk about obedience, whenever we talk about putting off sins, in this church we're not talking about a list of do's and don'ts. We're not talking about a list the pastor gives you and says, you have to do this. We're talking about things that are very clearly revealed in the Bible. Issues that are black and white. We're not talking about a list of my preferences and your preferences. No, we're going much, much deeper. We're talking about hard issues where we commit sins. There is that heat, that light that shines on us, that siren that blares. Those are the things we say, God, I want to put those off. And men, we know what some of those things are. We say, God, I can't do it in my own strength. I can't do it by the will of another person. I can't do it for my wife or my husband or my pastor or my parent. I want to do it because I love you, God. Let the Holy Spirit work through me and let me be obedient. I'm making that commitment, that resolution today to take areas of my life that are in the darkness. I'm bringing them to light. And it's the grand text. It's the teaching of Paul in Romans 6. If you want to know how to do this, memorize Romans 6 in the coming year. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? We present the members of our body as instruments of righteousness. And we turn away from those things that are unrighteous. If you want to learn how to do this, it's Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. We seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We put off, like a dirty, smelly coat, the things that are displeasing to God, and we put on the things that are pleasing to Him. This is how we begin to be obedient. This is how we begin to please God practically, by putting off sin in our lives. Praise God, it's such a grand subject. One more thought this morning. If you have your Bible, Ephesians chapter 4. And all of that will lead to our final point today. Just briefly, please, Ephesians chapter 4. If you say yes to a commitment to the Word, a commitment to prayer, if you truly desire to put off sin in your life and be obedient, more obedient, and again, we're not talking about sinless perfection, we're not talking about obeying commandments to get salvation, we're talking about a loving Heavenly Father who saved me and my desire to obey Him because He loves me. This is the love of Scripture that desires and produces obedience. If you put those three parts of the chain together, a commitment for the Word, a resolution for the Word, a commitment to prayer, a resolution to pray, a commitment to obey, a commitment to put off sin in your life. The fourth part of this message will explode. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, please, just briefly in conclusion. And I realize this is more of a devotional than a sermon. Next week we'll get back to our study of 1 Peter. I'm looking forward to that. But I thought this might be a good time to mention some of these things as we turn the calendar page tonight. Our final point today is in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. Pick it up right at the end of verse 11. God gave pastors and teachers to the church for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Look at that with me, please, in your Bible. Say, God, I hear you speak to me today. I want to make a commitment to the Word this coming year. I want to make a commitment to prayer. I want to make a commitment to being obedient and putting off sin in my life. And God, finally, I want to bring something to the church, the body of Christ, that builds the church up. I don't just want to be a taker. I want to be a giver when it comes to the church, the body of Christ. I love it. Paul says the point of teaching, the point of learning, the point of pastors being gifted in teaching, in exhortation, and admonition is that all of us would be equipped for work, the work of service. Literally, diakonos, service, to be a deacon, to the building up of the body. Oh, it's so much, brings so much joy. Just as a personal testimony, I was thinking about, I get real sentimental this time of year. I'm real sentimental to begin with. Terry watched a movie about dogs last night, and I started crying after about 2 minutes. I'm so sentimental. You would be ashamed. I'm ashamed of myself. I'm just such a softie, and everyone thinks I'm this big, tough. I'm just a big softie. And the dog comes running across the... Before the story starts, I'm crying. And I was thinking about my past life and all of the things that I participated in this time of year, and just the stupidity of youth and sin. And I was just reflecting on how true joy and peace and contentment in the Lord is so real, it's so literal. It's so different from these earthly cups of mirth that people take part in that supposedly are bringing them happiness. It brings no happiness. It brings no lasting joy. Only for a moment. You wake up the next day, you feel just as bad, just as guilty, just as miserable. And then you have to wait till the next weekend or the next thing. But the Christian life is such a gift, because when you're obedient, when you're in the Word, when you're in prayer, when you start to have feedback, just received a call during the week. You know, the Calvary Bible Church, I was just sharing this during the week, the Calvary Bible Church website was down, technology issue, but we got it back, and while it was down, I mean, people are calling. People from other states. People I never met. And they're saying, can you please get that website back up? I'm like, well, I don't have the ability to do that, but I'll try to get someone. And they're like, we are depending on those messages. And when you start to get feedback of spiritual fruit in your life, and so many of you here say, amen, I know what you mean. So many of you are bearing fruit in your work, in your family, with your kids, relationships, friends. You're following my train of thought here. You're not just an infant anymore, where someone's feeding you and changing you and watching you and protecting you. Now, you're the one adding something to the building up of the body in the coming year. Let's make the commitment. Let's make the resolution. And let's allow God to speak to us and say, God, what can I do as a believer who loves you to build up the body of Christ? What work of service, God, can I do for you in the body so that someone would be blessed because of me? That's when life begins in the Christian life. Do you know that? A lot of people never make it to this fourth point. And therefore the church is just obtuse. It's a mystery. Until you start serving and building up the body and having that feedback, and it's glorious. And then the very final thought, I promise, is 2 Corinthians 5:9. If none of this makes sense, look at 2 Corinthians 5:9. We close right here. Last thought. Don't you hate how pastors say last thought and then there's 10 more thoughts? This is the last thought. 2 Corinthians 5:9. If none of this makes sense, as a believer this morning, as one who's put their faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, 2 Corinthians 5:9, Paul sums this up. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. Let's pray. Dear God, that is our cry today as we conclude, whether we're here on earth, in the church, at home, at work, at play, or we're in heaven. Our great grand desire is to be pleasing to you, dear God. Holy Spirit, do the miracle of making the Word of God real. And pray that we would hear you speak to us. We would make a commitment to spend more time in your word this year, more time in prayer, that we would make a commitment to be obedient, to put off sin in our lives, that we would say yes to the work of service so that someone else in the body would be built up because of my life, my service, my spiritual giftedness. And as we close, as we leave the church today, dear God, that we would all say amen to this principle. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, whether in heaven or on earth, dear God, our desire is to be pleasing to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close.